The doctor is in the house.
Actually, the doctor is the house.
Len House, that is. You're listening to Dr. House, the talk show for people living with and beyond disability. And now, here's your friendly host with the most, inventor, medical doctor, husband, and father, Dr. Len House.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Dr. House. We are on the show Living With and Beyond Disability. We cover many topics on this show, technology, research. One of the things that we're going to talk about now is we're going to talk about veterans benefits and disability benefits and how to get there. We're going to be talking to Dr. Craig Bash. Dr. Bash will give you incredible CV, resume, and really kind of a bio. But we're going to get into that. But also we'll be talking to John Brown, who is a retired review officer for Veterans Benefits. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. House.
Well, let's start out with Dr. Bash. Dr. Bash, you've got a history that I think we ought to tap into that gives, you know, unbelievable credibility, but also it's an unbelievable story, kind of what you've done. And so I would like to just start back. You were a cadet. You went to the Air Force Academy, correct?
And graduated? Yep. Graduated in 1979.
Well, and I'll jump right to the end. You have a spinal cord injury. So take us from being in the Air Force Academy to where you are today real quick.
Yeah, there's a big divergence in ability to function. Because when I was Air Force cadet, I was slated to be a pilot. So fitness was a big deal. And then after I hurt myself playing rugby in medical school, I was unfit. And so I've kind of traveled through the years over that process. I've done a lot of unorthodox things as far as my medical care goes. I haven't taken any medications over the years, and I've been pretty good about my fitness, so I had a really good outcome. So I was a cadet. I graduated there in 79, and then I did a couple years in the Air Force at Nellis, and then I went to the Uniformed Services Medical School. And in that school, I got hurt as a senior. Spent several months in a VA hospital. Thank you to the VA for allowing me to rehab for 6 months. And I was able to walk out with crutches in a wheelchair at 6 months. Then I was able to go back and finish medical school because I only had a few months to go. And after that, I did all my training, my radiology and all my neuroradiology training from a wheelchair, mostly with some ability to ambulate. And so the concept for me was I could either give up and kind of lay in the ground or try and just kind of crawl myself out of the hole, and that's what I did over the years.
And so you're in the Air Force Academy, and then actually between that and medical school, you went to the Golden Gate University, and you actually received your MBA, right? So
yeah,
you kind of went the business route?
Yeah, I did that night class when I was at Air Force Base at Nellis.
Oh, okay.
Nighttime training. And Golden Gate was the sponsoring university.
All right, and then have served as in positions as an associate professor, and then also spent some time at the National Institute of Health, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm still an associate professor at the medical school. I teach a couple of classes over there. Uniformed Services is the place where I broke my neck. And then I was at NIH for a few years doing research with MRI with multiple sclerosis as part of my neuroradiology fellowship and extension of that training.
Okay, so obviously we're setting the stage for talking about disability benefits and what people really need to know and how they go through that process. And obviously, you've lived on both sides of the fence, and so an incredible person to be able to assess what's needed. So what are you doing now? How did you get into looking at the disability benefits for veterans?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a good question, because when I broke my neck at the medical school, I was a veteran eligible, but it took about 7 years for my claim to be processed correctly. So I lived through that whole process and needed lots of letters from my physicians and documentation things. So after I did my NIH work, then I went and worked with paralyzed veterans for a few years and started to understand how the disability process worked. And then I learned from that experience that I could be an advocate or an expert for a veteran by myself. So I started doing these medical evaluations for veterans as an independent expert. And so I kind of remember my own experience, how hard it was and how cumbersome the VA is to work with. And I always try and remind myself of that when I'm helping each veteran as I go along.
So what is the process? So, so somebody has a disability now, just taking it from the very beginning, does this mean that that needs to happen while they're actually like on duty or they're actually in the military at the time to get the veterans benefits?
Yeah, we have an expert here with us, John Brown, who was a VA Raider for a few years. Want to talk about that, John, a little bit?
Sure, I can do that, Dr. Bash and Dr. House. Briefly, a veteran who incurs a disease or an injury while on active duty or active duty for training is potentially eligible for some compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. And the process is to, find a very qualified person that's trained in this arena to help pursue that claim for you. It's difficult to navigate it alone, I think. And there are a lot of national veterans organizations that have claims officers. A lot of counties across the states and in each state, many, many of them have county veteran service officers that are in your local area that help also and have communication with the state national veterans target organizations. And, if a person was injured or if a person had a disease that began while on active duty, or sometimes even within a year, and multiple sclerosis is a great example, even within 7 years if the symptoms began showing up, that's a potential claim for service-connected disability.
So it could be actually a disability that happens while you're in that period of time, not just because of whatever you're doing in active duty.
That's correct. That's
right. Yeah, the rule, anything that happens to you or you incur during your service time, because a lot of things are infectious disease or different types of tumors can be caused by radiation or maybe things they're exposed to. So the VA rules are pretty liberal about what can actually happen to you. But then the processing part is very difficult. I have 10 years of medical training, and I can tell you that the training you need on the legal side is at least that long. It's very cumbersome on the legal side. So it shouldn't be thought of as a trivial process.
I have to agree with Dr. Bash fully, Dr. House. I mean, the fact that a person might even have a pre-existing condition and aggravates it is another condition that another issue that needs to be looked at. And somebody with some expertise in that area, legal expertise, understanding what are the VA laws. Also, I would say that secondary conditions that may pop up after a service-connected condition is determined, years after, 40, 50 years after. Diabetes is an excellent example where if you're service-connected for diabetes and, there's a lot of multiple kinds of conditions, Dr. Bash is a proverbial expert at these issues and seeks through and looks for the types of issues that sometimes are overlooked by the VA.
It seems that that this would be such a, I guess, and that's probably the reason we're doing this interview, that it should be almost like something you go through the steps, step one, two, three, and bam, it's done, and it's there's not a lot of variability, and, especially, people throughout the obviously the country at different settings, but that doesn't sound like that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, the problem is, medicine is complicated. So if the guy has a simple amputation of his foot, that goes through pretty easily. But if he has something that's more complex, that's a problem. A lot of these soldiers, they get good care on the battlefield. They get good traumatic care, but the complicated workups for other things is not easy to do on the battlefield, and the records are lost in processing soldiers around the world. So then they get up close, maybe they're in service for 3 or 5 years, and they get ready to be discharged. And, the medical system is not necessarily geared up to do a big medical workup as the guy's going out the door. So he may leave the service with some symptoms that doesn't really know what he has, and was treated by a corpsman or a non-doctor in service, and then he lingers and is in limbo. So he goes out to try to get a job. He can't get a job because he has his medical condition, and he can't get VA benefits because he hasn't been certified. So he's kind of really in limbo, and that's where you have all these soldiers that are waiting in line, maybe a million of them. They're kind of in this limbo stage and don't really have the diagnosis, haven't really been worked up, and they don't really have certification for the VA to get their voc rehab or their medical care benefits. That's the big problem.
Dr. Bash, one thing, and we have about 2 more minutes, and we're going to actually do another segment that will really get into a lot of these details. But yeah. I'd like to, in the next, a minute and a half, if you can just explain the IME So in the independent medical examination, what are you doing for people who don't know what the IME is?
Yeah. Well, usually I spend like an hour with a patient in a long write-up. So if you've ever had a doctor visit for an hour with a long write-up, that's kind of what I do. The VA does those in-house, but those doctors all work for the VA, and they have a QTC organization that does their own on the side. When I do mine for the patient's best welfare. So I'll order tests, so I'll find the diagnosis and try and provide a linkage for them in an organized way.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I know the that's done in disabilities, in other settings as well outside of the VA that we do IMEs and looking at what part of the body and the whole person and putting a percentage to it. So it sounds very similar. Well, I appreciate giving a little background on history and starting to get into exactly what our issues are. Come back after this break, and we are going to get into a lot more details with Dr. Bash and John Brown. Be right back.